In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about confident, fearless love and the peace that passes all understanding. But I want to get us warmed up first, because peace is serious business, and humor also is, under the right conditions, very healthy. So after a long, very long, and boring sermon, the parishioners filed out of the church, saying nothing to the preacher. Toward the end of the line was a thoughtful parishioner who'd always commented on the sermons, and today said, "Pastor, your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God." The pastor was thrilled. "No one's ever said anything like that about my preaching. Tell me why." "Well, it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding, and the love of God because it endured forever." All right, let's get down to it, and hopefully in a concise and engaging way this morning. Confident, fearless love, and the peace that passes all understanding. So the setting for today's gospel lesson is the Last Supper. Jesus is with his friends, the disciples, and he's offering his parting words to them. His death's impending just on the other side of the meal that night, yet Jesus is assuring his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." It's hard not to be troubled after hearing the news this week that 10 beloved children of God were shot and killed because of their race in Buffalo, New York. They did not have the knowledge when they were eating their last suppers that they would be killed when they go to get their next round of food. One Calvary parishioner directed me to a reality that compounds this horrific news. There have been 200 mass shootings in the country in the past 19 weeks. How are we supposed to respond to this? I think we've been numb for a long time. I watched as Cathedral Dean Owen Thompson offered his initial reaction to the Buffalo shootings live stream, sitting in his car just after hearing the news. And he said plainly, "This points to a moral and ethical crisis in our country. These actions are demonic." As Christians, we are called to respond with confident, fearless love. Yet how easy it is to abandon our faith, our mission, and our call every time we turn on the news. We hear about more beloved children of God harmed senselessly, intentionally. And we get scared. I get scared. We move to figure out who is to blame. All the while, we have the power to carefully cultivate where we live, where we go, and with whom we circulate. We can choose the types of news we want to hear. Even our Facebook feeds can be tailored to feature the thoughts we want to hear from people and exclude those who are different from us. That's the kind of insular thinking that leads to fear. Well, today's lesson from the book of Acts challenges us to a different way. Paul has this vision to go over to Macedonia. Macedonia was modern-day Greece, where there were no believers in Christ at this point. So this was a trip outside of Paul's cultural comfort zone. But Paul hears a call to step outside of his circle, find out what lay beyond his comfort zone as he preached the good news. And it turns out that Lydia, who's this Grecian tradeswoman, was receptive. And she, along with her whole family, was baptized. And then after her baptism, Lydia opens her heart to Paul, who's the foreigner in that land, and says, "Come, stay at my home." And they are compelled to stay. Being rooted in the receptivity of Jesus when we're one with another. It empowers us to live confidently and fearlessly in the face of difference. My colleague, the Reverend Philip Duvall, wrote to fellow clergy in the Diocese of Southern Ohio this week, and he said, Paul makes pilgrimage to Macedonia based on the idea that the love and the work of Jesus draw us into relationship with people outside our culture and enable us to see them as beloved and faithful. This looks so different than a shooter making pilgrimage to a land different from his own. A fear of the other that turned into loathing, with a racist anti-immigrant ideology based in protectionism turned violent. End quote. So how do we move from places of fear and anxiety to places of trust in God? The shooting last week is an extreme example of how we operate in so many other ways. Because how often does a fear of the other turn into loathing in small, insidious ways in our lives? So often we choose to live in, walk in, shop in only areas where we feel comfortable with the types of people around us. Choosing to talk even with the people we know at the social event, even at church. Confident, fearless love can be challenging. This past week, Reverend Olivia and I made a pilgrimage down the hill to the Cincinnati Public Schools Hub, and we met the new superintendent. We found out a lot more about the needs of the children and the families who are invisible to the church most of the time. Pressures borne by the school and teachers who are often the first called to respond. They invited us because there's a need for faith-based community partnerships in the city with the schools. And I found out Cincinnati Public Schools is facing a mental health crisis. Only 1 in 3 students are receiving the mental health care they need. Resources seem scarce. So it's clear that our Macedonias are just homes or neighborhoods away. It reminded me of a pastor who had a similar conversation as we had with the superintendent. She had it with a police officer in the city where she served. And at the close of the conversation, the police officer asked, and compelled, Pastor, here is your mission. As you are walking back to church, wonder about what God was saying to you in the last hour. What is it you are supposed to take from this? What are you meant to learn? What if we approached watching the local news like that? What are we supposed to take away from this? What are we meant to learn? Many of us are busy, and most of us fill our days with activity. Too often, I know I don't pause long enough to listen, to hear what God is saying about the world around me. I wonder if we were half as open as Paul was in today's reading from Acts, where he receives a vision of a man calling him to a foreign land. And so he and Silas simply go. With so many people in the neighborhoods in which we live, our Macedonias do not require much travel, but simply a willingness to turn a different way at the crossroad, to greet someone we've never been greeted before. Who might we listen to this week who is foreign to us in our way of thinking? What good news do we have to tell them? What might we learn? What good news might they share with us? And what hospitality might we be compelled to extend and to receive? In 2022, may we as a church, this is my hope, shape disciples in this place and then go into the world reflecting the confident, fearless love of Jesus Christ. Our vision here is to humbly collaborate with our neighbors to realize beloved community. And that starts with a kind greeting. That serves to break the invisible walls that divide us. And then they break down further when we get to know someone's name, when we get to know someone's story. Jesus makes this promise to his disciples: peace I give to you. He urges them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. He's saying this just before he goes to the cross. Now, if you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, you'll find different perspectives of the agony of Christ upon the cross. In the face of the aftermath of 200 mass shootings this year, we could just remain there, fixated on the agony of it all. Like Christ's death upon the cross, the suffering of these victims, the racist reality of our culture, it's agonizing. But as Jeffrey St. Jehor writes, the Gospel of John does not show us his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Instead, John shows us a Jesus who is confident that as he is with God, so the ruler of this world will not be able to exert power over him. When he says, "Rise, let us be on our way," Jesus is speaking of the way that will lead us to this death, the way of the cross, and is confident that death is not the worst fate in life. The worst fate would be to act without integrity, breaking faith with the source of life. End quote. So, my brothers in Christ, this is the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, that we might rise and be on our way, past the bonds of death, to listen to where God might be calling us to live this week and find our Macedonias. There we will encounter beloved children of God hungering for good news. There, we'll live with integrity and receive blessings in exchange. On our way, we will transcend the powers and principalities of this broken and sinful world. We will be led to life, even in the face of death. If only we might cast aside our anxieties and place our whole trust in God's grace and love. Amen.